الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذنون إذ ذهب مغاضبا فظن أن لن نقدر عليه فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم وكذلك ننجي المؤمنين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Respected brothers, sister listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On the last occasion, just a few days before the month of Ramadan, the theme was about the name by which the month of Ramadan is popularly known by. It is not rocket science to a Muslim that the month of Ramadan is most well known for the Quran itself. In fact, the reason why Ramadan has glittering stars around it is because of the Quran being sent, or at least the beginning of the Quran being sent in this month, blessed month. But besides being known as the month of Quran, besides being known as the month of fasting, besides being known as the month of being patient and the month of charity, this month is equally known, perhaps less well so, as the month of victory, the month of assistance, help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. History reminds us that during this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has extended a special favor upon the Muslim community, that during its main times of vulnerability, weakness and frailty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped it in a way which has baffled historians until today. Reading the works of history, the mind boggles of just how, against such odds, was the Muslim community able to succeed and be victorious. In history, we have two occasions where it was feared that Islam may be wiped out. And Islam being wiped out, meaning Muslims being wiped out, thereby nobody on the earth would remain who was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be a Muslim believer on the face of this earth. Two occasions. One at the very beginning of Islam, and we will touch upon this, and one approximately 800 odd years ago. But the issue we need to appreciate as we negotiate these long fasts, no doubt you will have endured pangs of hunger, you will have felt hungry, you will have felt thirsty, perhaps more thirst than hunger. And this is why that door from which inshallah we will all be entering Jannah the door that has been designated that only the fasting one can enter from this place. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open all the doors of paradise and Jannah for us. Not just one. But that name, as we learn from Tabligh Nisab of Qutub al-Aqtab, as the Shaykh Nawarallahu Marqadahu, is referred to as Rayyan. Rayyan literally means something that quenches thirst. If you think of your fasting cycle, the one thing that you may feel more is thirst rather than hunger. Especially in long, hot days where the throat is dry. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing for that fasting one is to enter through that door which is termed itself the door that will be a quenching one. In fact, the meter, Rayyan, is from the meters in the Arabic language which you choose for al to give an elevated meaning, a meaning of exaggeration. So one that abundantly, always quenches thirst. So going through that door, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us those rewards. And a few hours of fast, well, not maybe more than a few hours of fast, will be, inshallah, will be worth much, much more in the hereafter. But why is it that in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the Muslim community so many victories? By default, we may feel our energy levels are dwindling, but the amount of things that can be done during the fast, it's absolutely amazing if one puts one mind to it. Now, if we start off, the question we really have to understand, the strength of the fasting one, just how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not necessarily any waliullah, normal fasting individual. And most people will fast if they not do anything else throughout the year. Just how much internal strength Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this individual. During the early part of Islam, after migration, and after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands in the Quran began to change, where we move away from the idea of sabr, we have now the license to defend yourself. When the battle of Badr took place, in the year 2nd Hijri or 624, according to the common era, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the night before the battle, which is well documented, well recorded, and no doubt you will have heard much about it during your days in a masjid. But during that time, the ratio of individuals was 1 to 3. 313 to approximately 1,000. A more accurate number is given as 950. Two horses against 700. The odds are stacked high. To understand how vulnerable a position the Muslim community was on that day, we just need to look at one statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His teaching that in a time of weakness, danger, fear, apprehension, the individual should always, first port of call, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only did he teach us this, but he actually practiced this. He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raises his hand. This is a prophet of Allah, the final messenger, the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his dua, his plea. In the 17th juz, one of the ayahs which I've just recited, it talks about in one section, all the prophets, the distress that they faced in their lifetimes, and the dua that they did, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their dua. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his time of need, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Ya Allah, if these individuals, referring to the Sahaba, the small group of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would embrace Islam, but from that point, if this small group will be killed and is wiped out, then it is possible that you may never be worshipped on the face of this earth. From this we understand the position of Muslim community on that at that moment. How weak and how vulnerable the situation was to the extent that the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cannot doubt for 1 minute as Muslims his reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his conviction and his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that he was saying, Ya Allah, if these are wiped out, you may never be worshipped again. So he was pleading for assistance and help. And this was in the month of Ramadan. Nowadays, if you're sat at home and your mother or the missus says, please go to Morrison's and Asda, go and get some milk or bread or whatever for Sehri, you know how that feels. We normally, not during Ramadan. We can't do this Ramadan because everything we're blocked off. What we are actually doing, we feel we should rest. I'm fasting. And the fast is an excuse for not doing anything. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as you shall see from other episodes from Islamic history, their task was to actually go in battle. To be sat on a humpback camel in the heat of the Middle East during a fast is a very challenging thing, even without a fast. To sit on a humpback camel and go miles, it's difficult. But during a fast on the 17th of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and a small group of companions did exactly that. They went into this battle, and such was the weak position of the Muslim community. Economically they were weak, militarily they were weak, and they were in a state of fast, and this was fighting. And the arsenal, the weapons, was stacked against them. 2 horses against 700, 313 people against nearly 1,000. The infantry, the cavalry was outnumbered. But despite all of that, and despite the circumstance, despite the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we may be wiped out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting them victory. This is the first occasion that we find where Islam, there's a fear. The verse of Surah Ma'idah, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, today we have perfected for you your religion, had not been revealed until that point. This comes much later on. So the full religion of Islam has not been revealed. The 26, 28 surahs that came in Madani's life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have not been revealed. But we are at a vulnerable stage of Islamic history, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, if these individuals are wiped out, you may never be worshipped on the face of this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His divine intervention, sends angels to help the Muslim community, and the Quran illustrates this in most graphic details. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when you threw up the dust which clouded the eyes of your enemies, it wasn't you who threw that dust. You do not know there was divine intervention. Just like on the night of migration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam picked up dust and threw it, and the dust clouded the eyes of the individuals of the Quraysh who were camping outside his house to attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to move in the direction of Madinatul Munawwara. This is a second occasion in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where when his throwing of dust clouded the visions of the enemies and they weren't able to do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying is, when you did that, you were doing that. Is ramayna, when we were throwing. Walakinna Allah rama. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw that dust. And by the end of the Battle of Badr, the Muslim community won the battle. This was in the month of Ramadan. All the odds were stacked against him. This is the beginning, the first stage, the first rung of the ladder where this month is beginning to be known as the month of victory. What we learn from this, and as we shall see from the other episodes of Islamic history, is whatever an individual intends, the fasting person, just how much powerful his energies are during this month, if he only turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pleads and weeps with him to give whatever he wants. This is the first episode, Battle of Badr, the first occasion where it is felt and recorded in history that Islam may have been wiped out. But despite that, we go 3 years on in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and another battle comes up. This is in the 5th year of Hijrah. The battle actually happened after the month of Ramadan, in Shawwal. But all the preparation was done during the month of Ramadan. Now, if I was to say, or the masjid was to announce, that brothers, please come on a Sunday morning, we have to dig out this car park, so long, so deep, so wide, so much in length, and we have to during the daylight hours, because we're all busy at night after Asr, Maghrib, Isha, etc. How many of us are going to be turning up to dig for full hours, just with our spades? This is exactly what the Muslim community did in the month of Ramadan when they were digging that Khandak and trench. That trench was dug in the month of Ramadan by the council of Hazrat Salman Farsi, who offered his suggestion of practice that the Persians used to do, that in order to defeat their enemy, one of the tricks they had up their sleeve was to dig a trench. So the Prophet accepted his advice and proposal and found it to be a very useful strategy. The whole digging exercise was done in the month of Khandaq. This is that same scenario where we hear that infamous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has two stones attached to his abdomen to protect from hunger. This is a fasting month. The month of fast, the Saum had already been institutionalized. Fasting has started in Islam. And in this month, there was never, oh, we are fasting, we cannot do this. I need to pray my Quran, I need to pray my Salat, I need to do this, I need to wake up for Tahajjud, etc. This is what Islam needs, then this is the sawab, the neki, the good deed that we can do at this moment in time in our lives for the progression of Islam. So the month of Ramadan, the Battle of Trench, albeit did not occur in the month of Ramadan, but all the preparation, the hard work was done during a state of Roza, fast and so on. And as a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory very soon afterwards. And there are many important lessons for the student of Islamic history during this month. But I do not wish to go into all those lessons at this moment in time. The point that we need to learn and analyze and apply in our lives is just again, when this human being in a state of fast applies himself or herself and stands up for something that is required in Islam or for the sake of the propagation of Islam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's victory and help comes. Who would have thought, what the circumstances are, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have fast. I mean, when we go back home, we would probably have a plate full of samosas and pakoras. That's an expectation. That's a minimum we expect. And something else is on top of that. There was none of that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, narrates, مَا شَبِعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ مِنْ خُبْزِ الشَّعِيرِ حَتَّى قُبِذْ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not eat to his fill for two continuous days, did not eat the roti, the chapati of wheat flour for two continuous days throughout his life. On many occasions he would go home, he would ask his wife, is there any food? If the response was no, he said, I'm fasting. The food was tamar and zamzam. Zamzam and dates. And upon this was the survival. And upon that nourishment, those provisions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him victory. So imagine the victory we can get with our samosas and pakoras. Much, much more. How much blessed we are of food at the time of iftar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have 10 different types, dozen types of food. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had this. We wish to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. We are pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our du'as. At the time of du'a, Prophet Musa alaihi salatu wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Ya Allah, show me, reveal me yourself. Reveal me your essence. Only a prophet could ask this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, lan tarani. You will never be able to see me. Go towards that mountain. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَقَّ وَخَرَّ مُوسَى سَعِقَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just revealed some of his nur upon the mountain, it crumbled to powder. And Musa alayhi salatu wa salam fell unconscious. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam regained consciousness. And he said, Ya Allah, that felt so nice. Musa, what felt so nice? Ya Allah, I felt so close to you. It is a feeling, it is indescribable. I do not have words to describe. My feeling, I felt so close to you, Ya Allah. Oh, Ya Allah, please give me more moments like this. I want to feel close to you. So Musa, you felt really close to me? He said, yeah. So do you know the distance between you and I at that moment? He said, but let me tell you something. There is a prophet to come after you, and he will have a nation who will be his followers. That nation will be known as the best of nations, Khayru Ummah. And when that nation, in their fasting month, lifts their hands at the time of iftar, they will be more closer to me than you and I today. I will accept that dua at the time of iftar. Such is the power of this fasting person. That when he raises his hands, Allah is there to accept and endorse that plea and that dua. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Khandaq, despite all of these supplies not being there, they never gave up. So one of the lessons we learned, despite our fasting month, the Muslim does not give up. Because the fast itself is the highest form of taqwa. We're away, we're on school, we're at work, we're at shopping, we're everywhere. We're at times that we are by ourselves. There is nobody there to monitor us except Allah. Whether we eat, we drink, whatever we are doing. But it is that consciousness, no, I'm fasting. No, I'm fasting for Allah. Food will be there, colleagues will be eating in front of you. We'll be shopping, but no. The smell of freshly baked croissants and cakes will be coming and smothering our nostrils. But no, we will not, because we've given all of that up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this consciousness is what the Quran calls taqwa. And this highest form of taqwa is what's granting the Muslim community the victory. If we move on, after the battle of Khandaq, we have another episode. Another major one. There are minor ones that happen in Ramadan as well, but another major one. Another major one was the victory of Makkah, where 10,000 strong Muslim army came back into Makkah. No fighting, no bloodshed, but they came back. They came back in this blessed month of Ramadan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the victory. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Makkah, his parting words were, that I don't want to leave you. Makkah was in his heart. That's where he grew up. It was attached to it. Just as wherever we grew up, we're attached to that place. Makkah was in his heart. He longed to go back to Makkah. When they reached there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory in Makkah. They left Medina. Ramadan had started. Midway Ramadan, Makkah is being given to them. Yet another example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the fasting person, once that decision is made, yes, I want to do this, and the turning to Allah has happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants this person that victory and that dua. So when we have Badr, we have Khandaq, the Battle of Trench, we have the victory of Makkah, Fathi Makkah, and yet another important event in the history of Islam is the Battle of Tabuk. This was such an important occasion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's preparation for this Battle of Tabuk was much more, in a more disguised manner, than any other battle before. In fact, the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not want to be left behind for this battle. The Quran says, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. Three individuals, for one reason or another, remained behind. It's a story in itself. Ka'b ibn Malik, Hilal bin Umayyah, and Murara bin Rabi. These three individuals, for one reason or another, were left behind. Such was their pain and grief stricken they were, that how we were left behind, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion were no communications with them for so many days. It was like being sent to Coventry. Nobody was speaking with them. Everybody was waiting what Allah will decide about them. And the companion's state of mind is recorded in the Quran, that these three individuals, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا, that the Hatta iza daqat alayhimul ardu bima rahubat. It was though the ground was narrow upon them despite its vastness. They did not know where to go, where to hide themselves, because they were left behind with Tabuk. Because this battle of Tabuk was the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire of its age, which was a big, big empire. And to capture that was another benchmark statement, just like the defeat of the enemies in Badr was a benchmark statement that the Muslim community enjoyed in the early part of Islam. Although there was no serious battle that actually happened, but Tabuk was a major incident, and this also happened in the month of Ramadan. Badr in the month of Ramadan. I think the 17th of Ramadan. Khandaq, all preparation, month of Ramadan. And these trenches, if you read the works of the history of Medina and history of Makkah and the history of the early battles of Islam, there were no 2-foot trenches like we dig in our houses to put the gutter in. These were major, major things. And there was no digger there. There was no mini digger there. There was no JCB there. This was done by the arms and the strength of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ himself, with no food. Where did the strength come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So the battle of trench, victory of Makkah, and the battle of Tabuk. 4 major incidents in the early part of Islam, in the life in Medina, all 4 are seen as benchmark statements, events. How do we know this? When they were deciding how to start the Muslim calendar, in the year 637-638, when the event of how do we, where do we start the Muslim calendar from? Is it from the time when the Prophet ﷺ was born? Is it when he became a Prophet ﷺ? Is it when the first wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revelation came, Iqra bismi rabbik? Is it from Mi'raj? Is it from the mini hijrah to Abyssinia in 615 of the common era, 5th year of Nubuwa? Or is it from the actual hijrah itself to Madinatul Munawwara? Is it from Badr? Is it from Khandaq? Is it from the victory of Makkah? Or is it from Hajjatul Wida? Or is it from when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away? The events that I've just cited, Badr, Khandaq, victory of Makkah and Tabuk, all were taken as names, as benchmark points. So from there we understand these were actually events that even the companions thought they were major events. And all those major events, the common element is the Muslim community is in a vulnerable, weak position. Despite its vulnerability, weakness and frailty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting the victory. All in the month of Ramadan. One may well ask, well, hang on a minute. This was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Victory was granted. Victory wasn't always granted for them. As you know, in the Battle of Uhud, there were skirmishes, there were losses. Those 50 archers who came down from where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stationed them, thinking that the battle had been won, there was a loss of lives. So things weren't always rosy. But despite that, under all circumstances again, when the chips were down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the prayer, the dua of the fasting person. And on each occasion, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first of all turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let's go beyond this, because the Quran says, "Inna lanansuru rusulana." In the juz, 24th juz, tomorrow Tarawih, inshallah, we will most certainly help our messengers. And I've just given you some examples. In the 17th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of Ayyub alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam, gives the example of Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. All have different circumstances in their lives. All vulnerable, all weak positions, all turned to Allah, Allah gave them. But in those same verses, we see time after time, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي رُسُولَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُولَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Straight after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees the help to messengers, He also follows it up guaranteeing help to the believers. Let's see, we've just seen examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the messenger. Well, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the Muslim community after the messenger? Let's see some examples of this throughout the life of the Muslim community. One such example, and this was predicted by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Persian and the Roman Empire will come to the Muslim community. In the 15th year of Hijrah, approximately 656, the Battle of Qadisiyah happened in the 640s. This was a big Persian empire, mighty army. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the leader. And Rustam was on the Persian empire side. The infamous story of Rib'i ibn Amir was well known. I may have cited on the last occasion. This incident also happened in the month of Ramadan. Victory was granted in the month of Ramadan. Where the Quran says, "Inna lanansuru rusulana," we will most certainly help our messengers and the believers. We see examples of this. Again, weak position. Again, Muslim army is much weaker. But the strength of character and conviction and the iman of these great individuals led them to victory, albeit in a state of fast. After this, there's another battle. I've given you an example of the battle with Persian Empire. It would only be fair to give an example of battle with the Roman Empire, another great empire of its age. In the 53rd year of Hijrah, approximately 653 or some 680 odd, there was this battle near the what we know as Greece today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala improve its economy and the life of all those who are in misery at the moment. The island of Rhodes. The island of Rhodes was a strong port. In its time, there was this massive big statue of one of the Greek gods, perhaps referred to as Helios, name of this god, if I remember correctly. This had been toppled over for some time, a metal statue. But this was one of the strongholds, and if you look it up on the map, it is an island that one who has authority over it has a very strategic position to move here and there. The Muslim community approached that island, again in the month of Ramadan, again the odds were stacked against them. Weak army, frail, but fasting, but the energy of that fasting person, the dua of that fasting person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory. And that statue, they recycled. There was a lot of iron there, and the iron was used to make armor and weapons. Recycling was happening. So the islands of Rhodes. Moving on from the battles with the Persian Empire or the battles with the Roman Empire. Both victories that the treasures of the Roman Empire, treasures of the Persian Empire will come under the ruling of the Muslim community. This was a prediction made by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the Battle of Trench, Khandaq. And so it happened. A timeline was not given, but it happened very soon after. You may well think, okay, this was predicted by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's move on. The Quran says, "Kana haqqan alayna nasrul mu'minin." Surah Rum, only a few days ago we heard it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use these words. Haqqan alayna, it's an obligation upon us to help the believers. There is no obligation upon Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these words in the Quran, not just in one place, that it's an obligation, a duty upon us to help the believers. Let's see yet another example. When the Muslim community set foot on what we call today Spain and Portugal, it was 711, the year 711. Of the common era. In the following year, the island of what we call today Gibraltar was conquered by the Muslim community. Jabal Tariq, as it's referred to. There's a mountain there. After the first Muslim conqueror who had reached there. Now this was in the year 712 that the Muslim community go there, enter there, and are victorious at that particular battle. And this was a battle against this tyrannical ruler, Roderick. And how did the Muslim community end up there? Did not get there by accident. Before this, we have to understand what's been happening. And before this, the empire had crumbled in the Middle East of the Banu Umayyah. And the Banu Abbas had taken over. And the Muslim capital had moved from Damascus to Baghdad. Baghdad now is the center, but the last of the Banu Umayyahs, Abdurrahman, the leader, he fled. And he came to North Africa. And from North Africa, they came to Spain. And if you're at the coast, you can actually see on a clear day. So, the Muslim community now, by Tariq ibn Ziyad, led there, are now there. This entry into Spain and this battle that took place also took place in the month of Ramadan. That was such a blessed step at that time. Who was to know that the Muslim community were to be ruling that place for another 800 years? From 711, for 800 years, the Muslim community ruled, and for three centuries, this was a golden period, until 1056. And then, when the Jewish community and the Muslim community were evicted, and the Christian community came down, and how it actually happened was that one area they did not do, that area which is referred to as the Basque community, which is sort of 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock of North Spain, which is difficult terrain. The Muslim community did not go there, but that's where the Christian push came down from. And eventually they were actually pushed out and the keys were just handed over of Hamra Palace, etc. And the reign of Muslim Spain finished in 1492. So from 711 to 1492, the Muslim community were in Spain, were ruling, and were contributing. And a lot of the knowledge that we see today was passed on to Europe in that from there. But that initial step of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the believer, helps the fasting person, when he stands up, turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill his aims and wishes and du'as and pleas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them an 800 empire. We may well think this is very good. And there are many such incidents. But to think about it, we have been whizzing through with the works of history and the periods of history. That's, we think about, okay, how many paras am I going to read today? I must make sure I've ate well, drank well, so that I'm not hungry throughout the day. I must make sure I have my good intake of my pakoras and samosas, my five live things for the day, before I go to Tarawih. That's our thought. But these great individuals, their vision, their wishes, their du'as to propagate Islam and do tabligh of Islam was much, much higher. How raised and elevated their tawakkul was in reliance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How highly inspired their iman became in a state of fast. Yet another occasion, you will have heard of the Mongols. This is an episode of Islamic history that when the devastation came in Baghdad, I just mentioned, Baghdad became a capital in 750. And it remained a capital until 1258. Where on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Muslim community rule for 800 years in Spain. In Baghdad, there was an empire for 500 years. And before this, one in Damascus in Syria. But when that empire fell, it fell from an army, a group that came from the east. And these were the Mongols. And the Mongols were well known as expert horse riders. They were so good that they could turn their backs on a horse and fight the enemy. That if a horse is facing this way, then they are facing that way. If a horse is facing north, then they are facing south, so that they can fight off with their bow and arrows and whatever. And in one area, history records they killed nearly over 1.5 million Muslims. It is recorded at times as Qiyamate Sughra, the lesser Qiyamah. So much destruction. So much destruction. The Muslim community. And such was the devastation by the Mongols, Genghis Khan, Humayun Khan, Hulagu Khan, from this Khan dynasty. But saying that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished them hidayah. From those same community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created individuals from whereby we have another Mughal empire coming and another empire of Islam coming, loads of people coming into Islam. When hidayah from Allah is destined, only Allah. As we say in Urdu, jisko Allah rakhe, usko kaun chakhe. But this devastation by the Mongol community, and their habit was to pile up skulls wherever they went, as a sign that we were here. People were scared. And this is that second occasion. When I said in early Islam, at the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared that if this community of believers are wiped out, Ya Allah, you may never be worshipped again. The dua was accepted. In the same way, the Muslim community, he is being wiped away, one by one, town after town. After seeing so many glory years, this is mass destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives courage and bravery to one individual from the Mamluk dynasty. The Mamluk dynasty stands up to fights, and this individual, Qurtuz, his name, fought off under all odds, against all odds, at the Battle of Ayn Jalut. Ayn, because there was a fountain there. Ayn means fountain. At this battle, the Muslim community defeated once again against all odds. Militarily, they were weaker. Financially, they were weaker. In numbers, they were smaller. And they were running on empty. They were fasting. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory against all odds. And it was feared that after the early part of Islam, after the Battle of Badr, if there is one episode we can go back to, that Islam may have been wiped out, it was this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of this great general. And he defeated the Mongols. Not only did he defeat the Mongols, but Islam was able to stabilize again that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started off an empire somewhere else. And the Ottoman Empire started off in Turkey, Istanbul at the center. So different stages Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted victory against the others. Another battle before I forget. You will have heard of the Crusade Wars. Many a film, a drama, a book has been written. But one such incident, for which we have this great general Salahuddin Ayyubi, becomes well known. A film was made about him for the Third Crusade, The Kingdom of Heaven, a few years ago. This great individual was seeing Muslim community being defeated by the Crusaders, Jerusalem out of the hands of the Muslim community. And in that state, battles happening, his army of people is saying to their leader, we should stop now, Ramadan is here. We will continue, re-engage in the battle after the month of Ramadan. But Salahuddin Ayyubi, in the year 1187, in 584 Hijri, said no. He turned to Allah. The night he turned to Allah was Laylatul Qadr. And Laylatul Qadr, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Laylatul Qadr. The night is very small now, so we have to be really deprived if we don't get it. In Laylatul Qadr, he is raising his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him victory. Fasting person. A major episode of Islamic history. This is part of the Crusaders' history. And the battle is known as the Battle of Hattin or Battle of Hittin, according to how it's pronounced. And this great Battle of Hittin, through the military prowess and strategy and intelligence of Salahuddin Ayyubi, in the month of Ramadan, in a state of fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Muslim community. So where we see in the Quran, the verse I read was about Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam's episode, that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went away angry, he thought that we would never have power over him. Fanada, he called out in the layers of darkness that there is no deity except you, Subhanak, your purity, inni kuntu minaz zalimin, I most certainly am from among the ones who have done wrong. Fastajabna lahu, the Quran says, so we accepted his dua. We not only accepted his dua, wanajjaynahu min al-ghammi, and we gave him safety from his distress and grief. But after recording this episode and other similar prophetic episodes before it, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and in this way, we will give security, safety to the believers. In our lives, in our these historical episodes, there are many more. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for this fasting person is so great that he has such strength and energy that whenever he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his dua is accepted. This is the point that we really need to understand. That in moments of frailty and weakness, the lesson is there is always somebody there for you, and that is your Creator. And such is the power of dua, and that linked with istighfar. And upon this I will conclude the session today. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, in the latter stages of his life, this great sheikh, who deserves a lecture to be done on him himself, he went out on his search of knowledge and nightfall came and he wanted to rest, so he decided to rest after Isha prayer at a masjid where he performed the Isha prayer. But the caretaker of the masjid said, nope, against the committee rules. You can't stay here. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was not recognized by this caretaker. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, not being recognized as this great scholar, he says, no, I'm not going. He's elderly. He's struggling now to walk, but the pursuit of knowledge, love of knowledge is taking him everywhere. So he said, I'm not going. So he said, I have to drag you. He said, drag me. So he was, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is being dragged out of the masjid. Imam, if some great sheikh came to our masjid, and we see with our own eyes this great buzruk, this elderly senior gentleman, and a pious person is being dragged from the masjid. And we're outside watching this. So we have a baker outside who's watching this scene unfold himself. He said, what is this? He says, why are you treating this elderly gentleman like this? He says, he wants to stay in the masjid. There is no permission to stay in the masjid. I have to do my duty. We can understand where he's coming from. I have to do my duty. He's not going, so I dragged him out. He said, what does he want? He said, it's a place to stay at night. I said, okay, he can stay with me. So he takes this great sheikh, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, to his house. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is this great wise scholar. He's watching him. His lips are moving all the time. He gives him food at night. prepares a bed for him. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, man, I noticed that you're doing istighfar a lot. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. That's all you've been saying since we came. Have you seen any benefit from that? He says, ya Shaykh, yes, of course I have. He says, what is that? He said, every single dua I have done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted it. Except one. He said, I'm waiting for that day when that dua is accepted as well. He says, is that all you do? Istighfar. That's what I do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted every single dua I have done. Except one. He says, what is that single dua that's not been accepted so far? Perhaps I can help you. Perhaps I can ask Allah for that as well. He says, well, if you can, please fulfill my wish. And this is my wish in my life now. He says, well, what is that? He said, I know of this great individual. I've heard so much about him. I wish to meet him. He said, well, what's his name? He says, I hear his name is Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is in a state of emotion now. He says, my brother, let me introduce myself. Not only has Allah accepted your final wish by the blessing of istighfar, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged it so that he had me dragged out of masjid to this house just to have your wish accepted. The power of istighfar, the power of this fasting person, and the power and the blessed nights and days of the month of Ramadan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and we have heard this, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي رُسُولَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُولَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In this world, in this hereafter. Numerous places we hear, Allah helps the messengers, He will help the believers. How does He help the believers? We've just seen examples of how at the time of might against the Muslim people, when he was weak and frail and powerless, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with them raising their hands, standing up for the cause of Allah, defended Islam. So in this blessed month, first of all, our lesson is that baker and his istighfar. The power of istighfar. Because when this fasting person is seeking forgiveness in a state of such conscious vigilance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. And the du'as are accepted. So it is upon myself, upon all of us, all listening and who may listen after us, that these moments of the blessed month of Ramadan that we use for istighfar and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do dua for ourselves, our families, our brothers in distress and grief across the world, and all those who are facing up to poverty in this country, in other countries, who are facing economic challenges. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn the day for everybody. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us our mort and death and a state of iman. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.